Morning, birds. It's kind of cold. It's Tuesday. Nothing ever happens on Tuesday. And I got to be honest, I got up and I read my astrology, and it said take the day off. And I would. I'd have to find somebody to fill in. Wait a minute. Wait, you would? You would? You're ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Okay. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a good day.
Carry your cup in your hand and look around you. Leaves are brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Hang on to your hopes, my friend. That's an easy thing to say, but if your hopes should pass away, simply pretend that you can build them again. Look around. Grass is high, fields are ripe. It's the springtime of my life. Our seasons change with the scenery, weaving time in a tapestry. Won't you stop and remember me at any convenient time? My memory skips while looking over manuscripts of unpublished rhyme. Drinking my vodka and lime. I look around, things are brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Look around, leaves are brown, there's a patch of snow on the ground. Look around, leaves are brown, there's a patch of snow.
Ooh, not yet. Well, soon enough. 50 degrees as we go on the air this morning in Chicago, and it's only going to hit about 60, so a hazy shade of winter indeed. Maybe I'll just co-host today. We'll hear more from SpongeBob today. It's the 29th of September. This is Tuesday. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago on Bleat Network, bleat.network on your device. Let's hit the headlines. We are going to do some interesting stuff today. Life on Mars? What? That sounds good. I'm ready. And we'll go undersea, I think. We're going to visit some of SpongeBob's mutant friends here on the show today. Some quick news today, not particularly happy news. The coronavirus death toll has surpassed 1 million people worldwide. We'll hit the debate tonight, probably over the head between the candidates. Out in the West, at least three dead as California wildfires exploded. And news on the Breonna Taylor case. So all that cooking for you. Since the outbreaks began at the end of 2019, the coronavirus has ripped through the country. After country, sickening more than 33 million people worldwide and killing over 1 million. That's according to data collected by Johns Hopkins University. The staggering death count reported yesterday, get this, does it seem like yesterday or last decade? It comes 9 months after the first cases were reported in Wuhan, China. United States currently leads the world as the country with the most confirmed cases. On September 22nd, the U.S. Surpassed 200,000 virus deaths. 22 states reporting an increase in new cases compared to 2 weeks ago, and several Midwestern states have reported record cases and hospitalizations. Down in Louisville, the Kentucky Attorney General said Monday that he will release a recording of the grand jury proceedings that led to no charges for the death of Breonna Taylor. That was hours after an unidentified juror filed a court motion criticizing the attorney general's statements and asking to share details so that, quote, the truth may prevail. It's very unusual to release grand jury testimony. The attorney general said that he's going to provide the information tomorrow on a judge's order, despite concerns that the release could compromise an ongoing investigation. Lawyers for Taylor's family and a slew of leaders, including the governor of Kentucky, Andy Beshear, have urged the attorney general, who is a Republican, to make the secretive grand jury process public. As questions mount over last week's charging announcement, as you know, neither of the two Louisville police officers who shot Taylor in her home during a nighttime raid were indicted. Former officer was charged with recklessly endangering neighbors. This is a fellow that fired into one of the neighbors' homes. We'll hear more. That's the scoop. You'll hear more, and it looks like they're going to release that testimony tomorrow. Tonight, the president and the next president face off an evening when I probably will find something else to do. President Trump and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden are going to debate each other for the first time tonight. It's the first of three presidential debates. Here are the details. It says here, here are the details. When? Tonight, Tuesday, September 29th, from 9 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So 8 p.m. in the Central Time Zone. You can listen to it on NPR, and there's going to be video, and you'll catch it wherever you want to. This is at Case Western Reserve University, and also at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland. That's interesting. I've been to the Cleveland Clinic. It's a hospital, more or less. And the moderator will be Chris Wallace. I think that's a good choice. Probably the only guy who's not thoroughly insane over at Fox News. And then, wait, you said, well, there'll be more debates. Yes, there are four of them. The vice presidential debate, this one I might tune in for. That's the 7th of October between Pence and Kamala. Then there's a second and third presidential debate on the 15th and the 22nd of October, respectively. So, yeah. I can't wait. It's 8 after the hour. A note here. I'm going to get to this in a minute or two. I'm going to tell you about my take on Donald Trump as we get into his taxes. So we'll get into that for just a moment or two. I do want to note though. I don't know what to make this story. We certainly don't want to take pleasure in other people's heartache, but this guy, Brad Parscale, who managed President Trump's campaign for nearly 2.5 years until he was demoted in July. This is the guy who was in charge of the campaign when they had that misfired rally. What was that, Tulsa, when nobody showed? He was hospitalized for his own safety after threatening suicide. This happened on Sunday. Monday, local police gave us a little more information. Parscale's wife, Candace, called authorities shortly before 4 p.m. on Sunday to report that he had loaded a gun in front of her, prompting her to flee the house out of fear for her safety. And it goes on and on. I won't belabor it. She had some bruises on her body. Looks like this guy may be a wife beater. What do you say? This is the guy who was in charge of Trump's reelection campaign. These are the people that work for this man. And now... And now you see what's happening there. So that's the story of Brad Parscale currently, who was taken, by the way. There's a special law in Florida called the Baker Act that allows the local authorities to take somebody away if they think that he's going to be in danger, a danger to himself or anybody else. So that's the deal. Oh. All right, let's come back. We'll come back in a couple of seconds and talk about some of the other stuff behind Trump in the news. Thank God we've got some interesting stuff today to revisit. Did you know that Jerry Lee Lewis is still alive? He is.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my heart.
Jerry Lee Lewis. That's right. I always wanted to be related to him. Gary Lee Wright, Jerry Lee Lewis. Wouldn't that work? Unfortunately, no dice. You know what? I did not know. I hate to say this. I just didn't know that he was still with us. He is 85 years old today. Yes, sir. Jerry Lewis, Jerry Lee Lewis. Wow. he was called the Killer. That was his nickname. Kind of a strange bio. He married his cousin, which was center of some controversy way back when. What I did not know, and this is good, we got to bring this stuff up. He was the first person inducted into the first class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame way back in 1986. He has a birthday today. Also, Halsey has a birthday. We'll play some Halsey music from her in just a couple seconds. She's 26 today. 14 after the hour, it's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago here. I thought I'd just take a moment. The big news that's permeating everything this week is the tax return deal with Mr. Trump. And let me just read the New York Times. They are now taking a victory lap all week. I'll read from their opening statement. This is the Times. From the backseat of a stretch limousine, heading to meet the first contestants for his new TV show, The Apprentice, Donald J. Trump bragged that he was a billionaire who had overcome financial hardship. I used my brain, I used my negotiating skills, and I worked it all out. That's a quote he told viewers. Now my company is bigger than it ever was and stronger than it ever was. It was all a hoax. Yeah, months after that inaugural episode in January of 2004, Trump filed his individual tax return reporting $89.9 million in net losses from his core businesses for the prior year. The red ink spilled from everywhere. Well, we need a sound effect of buckets of red ink. Even as American TV audiences saw him as a savvy business mogul with the Midas touch. 12 years later, that image of the self-made, self-saved mogul beamed into the national consciousness and would help fuel Mr. Trump's improbable election to the White House. The story of The Apprentice is by now well known. The president's tax returns reveal another grand twist that has never been truly told, how the popularity of that fictional alter ego rescued him and allowed him to reinvent himself yet again. Mr. Trump's genius, this is still the New York Times, it wasn't running a company. It was making himself famous, Trump scale famous, and monetizing that fame. That is the opening bit of the New York Times today. You know what? Let me just, I'm going to share something personal with you. It's not particularly relevant. I lived in New York for 12 years, and when I heard that Trump was running for president, I was absolutely shocked. I was stunned. I was plussed. Whatever the opposite of nonplussed is, I was plussed. You know, all of us that lived in New York, Trump was just a joke. He was a lounge lizard. He was a real estate speculator, a New York real estate speculator. That's like the lowest form of human life, you know. And that was the perception. He was just a guy. He was a Howard Stern guest and stuff like that. And this notion that he was a business genius was so preposterous. He wrote a book called The Art of the Deal. Only he didn't write the book. He had a guy write the book for him. A thoroughly ghostwritten book. The fellow that wrote that book is now one of the many former Trump associates who's now come out against him, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. Trump had a reputation for not paying his bills. At some point early on, we should get this on tape, Donald Jr. said, and I'm almost quoting here, the New York banks stopped lending us money. So that would leave other countries perhaps. my point is that all this kind of, when I saw this thing on the tax returns breaking this week, none of this is new to me. And I hope people will, you know, get a chance to look at it. It's kind of, it would be entertaining if only we were not in the midst of a COVID and having this maniac running the country. But that's my side of it. And I think you're going to see that the big story is really the two Trumps. It's the real Trump and the fictional Trump. And see, I never bought the real Trump because we all knew that it was a fictional Trump. So I can only hope that some of this will come to light, if not tonight during the presidential debate, but perhaps as we unfold through the year. All right. Oh, goodness gracious me, oh my. Halsey is, oh my goodness, 26? Yeah. Today.
It's crazy when the thing you love the most is the detriment. Let that sink in. Think again. The hand you wanna hold is a weapon and you're nothing but skin. Oh, cause I keep digging myself down deeper. Won't stop till I get where you are. I keep running, I keep running, I keep running. Say you say I may be making a mistake. I would have followed all the way, no matter how far.
Halsey is an anagram for Ashley. That's her real name. She's got a birthday today. 26 she turns. And I mentioned Jerry Lee Lewis. Maybe we'll do more of both those artists today. It's 22 after the hour on Pandemic Pirate Radio for the 29th of September. Let's see here. This is a good one. I should have brought this up with Dr. Andy Griffiths. On this day, in 1829, the UK's first organized professional metropolitan police force began. This is a good one. When you go to a party and everybody already thinks that you're dull, you can prove it by whipping this one out. Sir Robert Peel's sponsored a law reorganizing London police. That's why we call them bobbies. Sir Robert Peel's, right? that doesn't get you a second date. Nothing will. In Chicago, wow, I had forgotten all about this. In 1982, an unsuspecting flight attendant named Paula Prince bought extra strength Tylenol that had been laced with cyanide. She died a couple of days later. Six more people died. Further investigation revealed that several bottles of the Tylenol capsules had been poisoned with cyanide. They recalled extra strength Tylenol, recalled nationwide. And that, by the way, is why you have those that plastic tape that it makes it harder to open a prescription bottle. That's the reason that they started that. Anyway, they never found out who did that. So that bit of history in 1982. And in 2005, New York Times reporter Judith Miller was released from a federal detention center after agreeing to testify in the investigation into the leaking of the identity of covert CIA officer Valerie Plame. Remember this? She was in jail 81 days for allegedly being the source that leaked her identity. The culprit ended up being Dick Cheney, chief of staff, Scooter Libby. Oh, my goodness. That's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, all those heady days, huh? What fun we had. All right. Let's make a choice, and we'll come back and blast off after this.
This election, we have a choice between Donald Trump, who called Americans who died fighting for our country losers and suckers, or Joe Biden.
The generation of soldiers, sailors, and airmen and Marines who have served and sacrificed for us are the heart and soul, the very spine of this nation. The millions of you who gave service, limb and sometimes life, fulfilling your oath to this nation and to all of us, we owe you. And over 5,700 have made the ultimate sacrifice, including General Kelly's son, who returned home today. 100% of America owes them a thank you. 100% of the nation can and must do something to acknowledge what they have done for us and continue to do this very moment.
Joe Biden respects our troops. Joe Biden loves our country. Joe Biden 2020.
Go get him, Joe. And while we're dealing out things here on Earth, I think we are going to, where's SpongeBob when I need him here? I think we're gonna blast off right now, if we could. Anybody? You know, when things get too hairy here on Earth, we like to go somewhere else. And here he comes now, Aaron, the news baron, beaming in. Aaron and I both get up early because we can't sleep. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Gary. How's it going?
I'm good. We got up this morning, and there's life on Mars, you think?
Hopefully. Yeah. I really do hope so. It seems like it's getting closer and closer to that inevitability.
So this is breaking news, more or less. So go ahead. You did stun me. So life on Mars, what about it? Take it from the top.
Sure. So basically the European Space Agency has a satellite that's been circling or orbiting Mars since 2017, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this ground-penetrating radar. In 2018, they found a single body of water, but they thought that was just mud, basically.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so now they found more of a network of underground lakes, and they're for sure that there is actual bodies of water. So they're salt water. It's fully fresh or fully water, not, you know, sediment dissolved into it. And the fact that there are multiple, and it can't just be, you know, an isolated instance. there was one you could say was a volcano underneath the ice sheet. But the fact that there's multiple indicates that they have been there for the duration of the history of Mars.
Wow. This new water, when did they discover this?
That was actually a couple of days ago the news came in. They've been analyzing the information sent from that satellite. They've concluded a couple of days ago.
Wow. It's 28 after the hour. This is Aaron, the news baron, and a very exciting story that there was life on Mars, or we don't know, but water exists where life exists. Is that the idea?
Yes, and we've also found evidence of organic molecules, which are basically the building blocks of life.
Mm-hmm.
We found isolated instances of organic molecules over here. Now we have evidence that there have been these underwater oceans or lakes for, you know, thousands and thousands of years. So slowly but surely. And then we found out that on the surface of Mars, you have extreme evidence that there have been flowing water, mm-hmm. lake beds and rivers and different things like that.
So at what point do we speculate here? Because if we had life, you know, or if we had water, we might have had life. What happened to the life? We're there.
Exactly.
We're not with this. That isn't like a race of dinosaurs that were wiped out by an asteroid on Mars, like our story, right?
Right. Well, the thing, up until the point where we get a sample and we find a microbe,
mm-hmm.
there's always going to be this kind of shrinking and shrinking and shrinking of the circle.
Right.
But if we look at the Earth, for instance, as our only example, at exactly the point where we've had that Goldilocks zone where water wouldn't evaporate or freeze mm-hmm. because the surface of Earth was very hot,
right.
once it got cool enough, that was exactly when we saw the first signs of life. So it's not like, you know, the conditions were set and then millions of years later you saw life. It was pretty soon. So if we find the same sorts of conditions on Mars, we would assume that life would, the correct conditions are there. It's just a matter of finding that microbe, so to speak.
What did you call it, the Goldilocks zone? Then I presume that's it's not too hot, it's not too cold. I've never heard that before. This is why science is going to bring us into a new era here. So
true.
Yeah. Well, tell me more. What do you think the next step is?
Sure. Well, the next step is basically trying to get down to those underwater lakes. And we know that because we have the evidence that they've been there for thousands of years, and we have evidence that the surface of Mars had water on it,
right.
kind of the running theory is that there was probably some micro biological life on the surface and that the remnants would be, you know, stored in those underground lakes.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could get another rover or another kind of a base, you really need a base
yeah.
to dig all the way down under the ice sheet to get some samples.
I love this. I'm sure that there are people who think this is a terrible idea to spend money on, but not me. Doc, come on, really. I mean, you want to know what happened down there? The thinking that we could go and inhabit Mars in some fashion. You think that's something that may well happen, or what about that? Because they got water up there, right? And you can swim. Now we think something like that. All right, go ahead. So, what about it? What about living up there?
That one's a bit more loaded because there's kind of this theory of terraforming Mars,
yeah.
making Mars more habitable.
Right.
So basically, Antarctica as of now is more habitable than Mars is.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm glad that we have people like Elon Musk that are, you know,
right.
pushing this forward, putting the private money into it, so
yeah.
the public doesn't have to suffer the tailings of that, but. If we can terraform Mars, we should first be terraforming Earth and getting us back to a lane where our climate isn't increasing in heat and that soon this planet will be uninhabitable. So I do think it is possible, but hopefully we'll have that same brain power focusing on helping our, you know, ecology down here.
What is that? What's that phrase, terraforming? T-E-R-A?
Yeah, terraforming.
Spell that. What is it, T-E-R-R-A, right?
T-E-R-R-A-F-O-R-M-I-N-G.
Which means what?
Basically making a non-Earth environment more like Earth, or a non-life inhabitable environment.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're two for two, man. We terraforming, and what was the other one? The Goldilocks zone. So yes. We have more. Believe me, there's more information in 5 minutes from you than 3 hours from the news that I poured through today.
We have the time to these days.
We do, and I listen. I've said this before, and I'm gonna repeat myself. We learned a lot of stuff in the so-called space race. We really did. We employed people. We expanded science. We made great speeches, and we felt better. So I don't know. I think this is a good opportunity to do that again. So Mars, life on Mars. We hope. Exciting. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't alive back at the time when the space race was really going on. But How was that feeling? How was that environment? The fact that everybody was into it. You learn about it in school, and you're parents would talk about it. Like, how was that?
It was the most exciting thing in the world. You know, there's no big deal now, particularly right now as people are doing, online teaching. But the first time I ever saw a television set in a school, it was like, like a leprechaun appeared, right? And why did you have a TV set? So we could all sit around. This was unprecedented. And do the countdown, 5, 4, 3, and watch. I don't know. I remember John Glenn blasting off and some of the other stuff. I think it was just, it was exciting. It was optimistic, you know. I don't know. I think it was good. It was a good diet. Somebody told me, I don't know how true this is, that we discovered Teflon during the space program. Just a million things like that. So, yeah. I'll tell you what, my goodness, I just looked. You know what I could play from that era? I have a clip from Hidden Figures. Talk about a movie that revolutionized my thinking, at least some of the stuff we saw. Maybe I'll play that. Maybe I'll play that before we get out of here. Listen, Aaron, keep monitoring that for us. We're running out of Earth, so maybe Mars is next. Try to.
Hopefully.
They're probably up there saying, no, go back. We don't want you.
Right.
All right. Have a good day today. See ya.
All right, you too. Bye.
Don't break it.
Are you ready? I said, are you ready? All right, I'm ready too. So I found that clip that we were talking about. You know what? Aaron asked me a great question to recall the days of the space race. Here's a great example of what we got out of the space race. The movie Hidden Figures. Have you seen it? I can't recommend it highly enough. A tremendous movie. It's true. Unsung heroes. That's the idea. Hidden Figures. A pun. Women of color. Black women doing math. John Glenn, get that woman on the phone before I blast off. And what emerged? The idea that maybe people shouldn't have separate restrooms if we were all going to go to space together. Kevin Costner in this scene here. Dismantling the sign above the colored restroom.
There you have it. No more colored restrooms. No more white restrooms. Just plain old toilets. Go wherever you damn well please. Preferably closer to your desk.
Before the hour. Sweet Victory. What's this?
It's the thrill of one more kill, the last one to fall. We'll never sacrifice that will. Thank you.
Sweet Victory. That's a rock anthem. It is. That was featured in the classic Band Geeks episode of SpongeBob SquarePants, where the band had a face-off, Squidward and his rival Squilliam. The song was co-written and produced and performed by Bob Kulick and David Glenn Isley, along with Eric Singer of Kiss. So there you go. You know, I was never a regular watcher of SpongeBob. I was in the hospital a couple of weeks ago. I think you knew that, and had a little time to watch some stuff. I'm not saying. You mean? Well, you're saying what? That you watched? You watched SpongeBob? Well, it's just. Are you ready? Hey, Bob.
I'm ready.
All right. Let's just.
I'm ready.
SpongeBob is the protagonist of the show. I wish I had known this before I was as old as I am now. He's always happy as a catchphrase. I'm ready, that he chants in the morning. SpongeBob lives in a pineapple next to Squidward and Patrick. He also works at the Krusty Krab. Now, Patrick Starr, SpongeBob's best friend, he's portrayed as a dim-witted character who lives under a rock. But apart from him being dim-witted, he is a very lovable character. He's pink. He enjoys to go jellyfishing with SpongeBob and sometimes follows SpongeBob and his shenanigans around Bikini Bottom. Which brings us to Squidward. Squidward lives next to SpongeBob. He's an arrogant octopus. Aren't they all? Who is portrayed as disliking SpongeBob and his shenanigans. Now, Squidward also works at the Krusty Krab as a cashier. That's worse than a Burger King that's about to close. Mr. Krabs, his full name is Eugene H. Krabs. He's the owner of the Krusty Krab. Despite his business, he's portrayed as a cheapskate. He's a sailor who worships money. And he lives in a house shaped like an anchor. And I do, too. All right. Well, I'd like to. There's a secret formula for the Krabby Patty, which keeps hidden from his arch nemesis, Plankton, who is a tiny, evil, and scheming being. And that brings us to Sandy. Sandy is a proud squirrel from Texas. Sandy's a squirrel who wears an astronaut suit to breathe underwater. We came full circle, the space race. We did. Hey, but you know what? It's going to get worse here. Did you know that there is a conspiracy theory surrounding SpongeBob? You didn't know that?
Are you ready, kids? What if your favorite phylum Periphera, who lived in a tropical fruit deep in the ocean, was actually a result of nuclear radiation? I'm here to ruin your childhood with this new conspiracy about your favorite sponge and rectangular pants. Get this. Bikini Bottom is underneath a real live place, an atoll called Bikini Atoll, part of the Marshall Islands in the Pacific Ocean. In 1946, the U.S. government detonated a couple of atomic bombs in Bikini Atoll as a part of Operation Crossroads, one of which was set off underwater. The radiation then affected these once normal creatures and their environment, making it possible for a crab to open a restaurant, or a squid to play clarinet, or a sea sponge to wear pants and a tie. So could this really be about our friends of Bikini Bottom? Well, as it turns out, this is all very true. Bikini Atoll is a real place, and these nuclear detonations really happened. And not only that, but all of this was actually confirmed in the pilot script of SpongeBob SquarePants.
No. Really?
Thank you.
Junior Walker and the All-Stars here on Pandemic Pirate Radio for a Tuesday. You know, I am always intrigued to see who is doing what, and sometimes you don't know until you have this odd thing happen. So I was getting some gas the other day, and there was a sheet from somebody I'd never met before with his phone number, and he said he was buying records. And I thought, well, I got a bunch of records here, so I called him up yesterday. His name is Mike. Mike is the father of the year. He's talking to me on the radio, and he's supervising his kids doing their schoolwork. Are they doing their thing today, Mike? They getting all
for the most part. Yeah. But they could end abruptly at any moment. So
yeah.
That's all right. If they lose me, you know why?
No, I know. I'll yell at them. I have a loud voice. We can do that. So here's the story so far. So I called you up. This is literally the story. You photocopied a sheet that said that you buy records, and then you put your phone number on it. And I ripped off the tag, and I called you yesterday. And I didn't know what the deal was. You said you buy records. I didn't know if you were in the business or what. But it turns out what? That you happen to get a turntable from somebody that you liked, right?
Yes, I did. It was a good one, too, Techniques.
So you needed records to play on the turntable.
Indeed. And there used to be a store kind of close to our house, but it finally went out of business. And now the closest one is halfway across town, and it's a hassle to get to, and the parking is tough there. So I was complaining about it to my wife, and she said, put a sign up. Everyone has records, and no one knows what to do with them anymore.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very good idea.
There used to be a store called Licorice Pizza. Remember that?
That might be before my time. I'm only 52.
Only 52.
Yeah.
So, but the interesting thing was that you said that people have been calling you and offering you their records, and I'm eager to what is it that they wanted you to buy from them? You said
normally it's people that have had records that have been sitting in their basement for 20 plus years, and they're saying, hey, we're going to be moving, so come and get these things out of here. So that's mostly who calls me, but occasionally there are people who have had a relative pass on, and they've inherited these things and are unsure what to do with them, so then they call me.
Yeah. Boy, I can think of some really tasteless slogans to
I'm right. Sure you can.
But listen, but now are they aware of what they've got, or they just say, there's a big grandpa had a box. I was unpacking some of my records over here, and they were, half of it is, my God, I can't believe that this record existed. And then you say, wow, I can't believe this record existed.
Occasionally there are people who have stuff that I've never heard of before, and I listen to it, and if it's not necessarily my taste, then there's that store I was telling you about across town, and I'll take that stuff in there.
Yeah.
And as for, you ask for trade, if you ask for cash, forget it, they're going to give you nothing. But if you ask for store credit, they always give you a little more, at least the one I go to does.
So you've got a barter thing going, right?
Basically, yeah. I mean, you can kind of maximize your potential if you ask for trade because, they'll always, almost 9 times out of 10, they can offer you more for trade as opposed to cash because they're in it to make money. So if they can't get it for a certain price, it doesn't make sense for them financially.
Yeah.
Considering they have to pay their lease, they've got to pay their employees, they've got to pay taxes on everything they sell. They have to pay their water bill, gas bill, electric bill. Their overhead's astronomical.
Yeah,
and they figure, if you're there already there, you're pretty committed, so they're going to lowball you. And 9 times out of 10, people are going to, take that carrot.
So you watch anywhere any of these shows like American Pickers or any of these, where people they buy antique stuff like that, and they're always on the lookout for some incredible find. Is there a record somewhere in these boxes that you've stumbled upon that you said, wow, that's a valuable one or a rare one? Anything like that?
It's frustrating because the stuff that I think they're going to take, they don't take. And the stuff that I think, they'll never want this, they end up taking. So it's always a crapshoot. You just never know.
So is it a matter of them, is a difference in taste? Like they just, this guy just liked, he just liked Neil Diamond. I couldn't talk.
Now, I mean, there are certain records that you see more often than others. I would say, Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Yeah.
I must have sold a gazillion records because I swear every time someone calls me, there's a you know, a Herb Albert in there. And the same with, you know, certain other records. Michael Jackson's Thriller, I think that's probably another very common one.
Yeah.
A lot of times you'll see Mantovani and stuff like that. It's a lot of older people because, you know, people have to be of a certain age to even own records.
They
do. You know what I mean?
They do. Yeah. Watch your language, Mike. Yes, they do.
Did I swear? I hope not.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Listen. We're gonna get out of here. I'm gonna call you back, and we'll talk more about this. I'm just fascinated. So, are these scratched up, or are most of them in playable shape? These LPs.
You know, a lot of them are in, you know, less than perfect condition, and that's always tricky because the stores want them in, you know, above average and pristine condition. And a lot of times they'll reject them based on, you know, whether or not they have ring wear or splits in the covers or any kind of scuffs or scratches. And, you know, ultimately you like them in playable, unscratched condition. That's rarely the case, unfortunately, because most people who own records played them, you know, and there's bound to be somewhere, considering most of them are at least 30, 40 years old.
Can I put your number on the radio?
you
want to think about that?
If anyone has as long as, you know, here's the thing, I'm looking for records that are being ignored more than anything. So as long as they're not using them anymore, so if anyone's out there listening and you're not playing your records, if you're still using them,
they're still you. He doesn't want you to give up your prime possession. All right, call him up, 773-556-3220. Mike, I will call you again.
Okay, Gary, you got it. Thank you,
man. Tell those kids to get that math done. Please.
I got to get on them.
I'll see you later.
Okay, Gary. Bye. All right, bye now.
This Widecast produced in Chicago by Natasha Rodriguez. See you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright, blessed day, the dark, say goodnight. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.